You're listening to TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
All right. I Can Start a Fire by Alex Call and Lisa Carey. The song we play going out into break is called The Calling. That's another song written by Alex Call and Lisa Carey, two well-known Nashville musicians. In fact, Alex wrote the song 8675309, Power of Love. Lisa Carey has sang for years in the Nashville scene, and they both love healthcare. Lisa's battled breast cancer herself, and they've written some very emotional and recorded some music for about healthcare. The song that we play going into commercials called The Calling, and that's also on their CD, and that talks about people that have a calling to go into healthcare. And Stephanie Baker, that's certainly a calling that you had going into healthcare. We talked about break, about staffing resisting change. And one of the things I think people will talk about, and though I think, tell us a little bit about ED physicians, because when you think about the ED, when the idea of when they put in the word collaborative care, they certainly had to be thinking of emergency departments, because it's all about collaboration. How's the best way for, again, ED physicians to improve excellence in the emergency department?
Well, you know, Quint, we have found there's really three things, and they're very easy, that physicians can do to improve their perception of care with patients. Number one that I always talk to them about is get to the bedside quickly. Again, the number one satisfier that patients are going to have is how quickly they see their physician. So once that patient is put in the room, our goal is to get a provider in there, you know, no more than about 10 minutes from the time that patient is in the room. And certainly the charge nurse or the primary nurse can help them know that the patient is in the room. But the first thing is physicians can do is quickly see the patient. Even if they can't do the full exam at that point, just getting in the room, speaking to the patient, letting them know, you know, I'll be back in 10 minutes to see you. That first connection is important. The second thing that I always share with them is sit down and manage up. When providers sit at the bedside, the research shows that the patients feel like they had double the time if they sit at the bedside versus if they stand at the bedside. So if the physician is in the room for 4 minutes, the patient feels like they got 8 minutes with the patient. So by sitting down at the bedside, that's going to improve the perception of care, it's going to show engagement with them, and also managing themselves up. And when we use the term manage up, it just means, you know, putting ourselves or others in a positive light. So it's sharing with them a little bit about their experience for them to be able to say, I'm Dr. Jones. I've been an emergency physician for 15 years. I'm going to be your physician in charge today. That helps reduce anxiety and it builds credibility for the patient. So that second tactic of sitting down and managing up will absolutely improve perception of care. And the third tactic that we use is that every patient should receive a formal open and a close by their physician or provider. So certainly that physician needs to formally open with the patient, introduce themselves, do the exam, let them know what to expect, and then certainly do a formal close with the patient. Here's what we found. Here's what the plan of care is. Engaging the patient in that to ensure that the patient agrees with the plan of care, can accept it and contract to it, because we know when they do that with their physician, they're going to be more likely to be compliant. So that would be the third tactic.
It's interesting to say that, because I've talked to some great ED physicians around the country, and they say that one of the things they'll do is they always want to make sure the patient, and even to say, I know you're here, they're running tests, that quick touch if they can't spend more time to sit down and manage up. I find in the close it's interesting because, you know, periodically a patient will be discharged by somebody other than the physician. And when you're talking about what they're normally used to, a patient, whether it be in a physician's office or an inpatient, they're used to the physician saying it's okay to go. And I've heard staff even, or excuse me, patients even say, what does the physician think it's okay to go? Does the physician know? What are some closes that you recommend to reduce that anxiety, and what are some closes in general that you've seen work?
Well, the close is very important. Regardless of, let's just say I come to the emergency department with abdominal pain. You know, a lot of things are going to happen to me. I might have lab tests. I might have IV fluids. I get a CAT scan. All of these things kind of happen. But what I really want to know is, was everything okay? And what am I supposed to do next? So we encourage on the close that, number one, the physician gives a clear diagnosis to the patient in terms that they can understand. So they need to say, this is what's happened. Here's what we have found. So a clear diagnosis. Second of all, they need to contract with them of what the plan of care is going to be. If it's, I'm going to provide you a medication, or the patient's going to, you know, need to do wound care at home. They need to be very clear with what they are expecting the patient to do at home and why. Because we know that a lot of times, if I had bronchitis and a doc gave me a prescription and I get home 3 days later and I'm feeling better, I may not take that prescription the whole time. So it's important for them to understand why they're asking them to do the therapy and how long they need to do it. And thirdly, physicians need to ask if the patients have any questions. They need to ensure that they understand the plan of care. And that, again, is for safety, because the patient is not necessarily going to be compliant with the plan of care if they don't understand it. So one of the terms we like to have them use is, I know I've given you a lot of information. Do you have any questions? Or tell me what you've heard. Is there anything that you need more information on? Because that really gains acceptance from the patient.
I've heard a couple, too. I talked to a few physicians recently who use the word, I don't want you to leave if you have any questions. I don't want you to leave with concerns. Really trying to harvest those, because if you don't, they're going to have them, they're going to ask, they're going to come back to the ED and so on. And one of the things that I'd like to talk as we get into our wrap-up here a little bit, Stephanie, is I know some emergency departments, if you look at statistics on the inpatient side, you know, one in every five patients that discharge from a hospital ends up having some type of something happen to them, an adverse event, whether it's medication or something else. We also find that only 14% of people that leave an inpatient setting understand the side effects of their medication. Now, I'm not saying it's worse or better in the ED, but I've got to think it's the same challenges. Tell me a little bit about, I know you can't call everyone, but have you seen EDs really start to look at those post-care phone calls?
Absolutely, Clint. Discharge phone calls in an emergency department make all the difference, and I will tell you from personal experience, they save lives. Our goal, our best practice goal for emergency departments, and again, we have some very high-performing EDs around the country that are doing this practice today, is to attempt to call 100% of all patients, eligible patients, that go home, not that are transferred or go to a skilled nursing facility, because we know they're going to be getting care. But our goal is to attempt to call all of the patients that go home. And we know that if we're contacting, actually making contact with about 60 to 70% of those patients, that the perception of care is going to be better. The patients are going to be safer as well. So that's our goal, is to always try to attempt to call 100% of patients that are discharged to home, and to contact at least about 60% of those patients on a daily basis.
I find, Stephanie, in a couple best practices I've seen lately is where they actually, because you'll hear the reason, well, we called four times, we called five times, is to actually, upon the patient leaving the emergency department, say it's important that we know how you're doing. What's the best time and number to reach you? And that'll actually, once they can put them on some type of schedule, even recommended, that'll move first phone call hit up to about 90, 91%. What are some of your statistics you see? Because, Stephanie, you've mentioned it. I've seen statistics that show the difference of, let's say, recommend an ED of those who get called and don't get called. Are you familiar with any statistics on that arena?
Absolutely, Clint. We have multiple emergency departments around the country that are tracking a question that literally says on the patient satisfaction survey, it says to the patient, did you receive a discharge phone call, yes or no? And that allows those organizations to filter their data to see if patients that received a discharge phone call felt better about their care than patients that did not receive a discharge phone call. For example, and I have this in the book, it's on page 86, Hackensack University, when they started doing that filter question for their emergency department for likelihood to recommend, they saw on average that they could stay at about the 80th to 90th percentile for patient perception of care if they made the discharge phone call. Whereas if they did not make a discharge phone call, they were hovering somewhere in the 40th to 50th percentile. So it absolutely is, a number one, a wow factor for a patient to get the discharge phone call. But again, we go back to quality and safety, that we know it allows us to check on the patient, make sure they're doing well at home. And again, from personal experience, I will tell you, I had a patient that was not doing well at home, ended up saving the life that day. So for the caregivers, it's very positive.
I would agree with you so much on this factor, that it's really, I think if we really look at healthcare, it shouldn't be an option. It should almost be part of the care. We can't believe that a patient's care stops just because they walk out a door. Stephanie, in our final minute here from you, then I'm going to have a little bit of a close. I want to thank you. I know it took a lot to write this book. I know how important it was to you. I know your parents, Saul and Sue, are thrilled that you wrote the book. I remember talking to you the day it came out. You were going over to their house. But I'll tell you, being at the emergency conferences, how much nurses and doctors and other caregivers appreciate this fact. So you're telling me, Stephanie, from all your experience and looking at all your work, that it's truly possible to have excellence in the emergency department.
Quint, it is. It is absolutely achievable, and it's achievable today. The tactics in the book, if you only did one tactic, starting with reception area rounding and rounding on staff and patients, you can absolutely see positive movement within 60 to 90 days. Discharge phone calls, the data absolutely speaks for itself. And, you know, being an emergency caregiver for all these years, it comes back to purpose, worthwhile work, making a difference for us and saving lives. It's about what we do and how we drive efficiency, because the world isn't getting easier. The volume is still going to come. What we have to do is commit as leaders to lead the change and to always expect excellence.
Well, and I think that the other thing that what you're does, we've talked a lot about patients, Stephanie, but I know from experience, it also creates a better place for people to work. And even though we didn't get around to it as much, I think if people read your book, they talk a lot about getting the other hospital departments involved, and go to our website at www.studergroup.com, and you can read all about emergency departments and even more. Also, if you want a copy of the CD by Alex Call and Lisa Carey, that's on there too. Stephanie, I want to thank you for writing the book. I feel like I'm so up to ED. I've heard you. I've heard Liz Jaswick last week talk about it. And I also heard Tom Mayer on hardwiring flow, because I think it all goes together. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for being on the show today. And to those listeners, thank you very much, and continue to go out there. And as Stephanie says, do work that is great purpose, is worthwhile, and makes a difference. Thank you very much. This is Quint Studer. Looking forward to talking to you at our next show. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure when it sparked the fire deep.